The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky has maintained a high level of support among Ukrainians. However, in recent days, there's been some public outrage with the president. Thousands of protesters rallied in Kyiv and other cities as his party was set to push through a law to strip two anti-corruption bodies of their independence. However, just yesterday, Ukraine's parliament has approved a bill restoring the independence of the country's two main anti-corruption agencies. And Mr. Zelensky changed course after the public outcry and under some pressure from European officials. So will he regain support from the people of Ukraine? For more on this, I'm joined on the line by Emmanuel Chaz, a Ukraine correspondent for France 24. Emmanuel, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about what they were trying to do with these two agencies and why they wanted to do it.
Well, a little over a week ago, the Ukrainian parliament, the Rada, just passed a law before they were supposed to go on their summer break. And this law actually stripped the two key institutions fighting corruption of their independence. It placed those two institutions under the authority of the General Prosecutor of Ukraine, someone who is nominated by the president and someone who would then have had authority over those over the investigations launched by those two institutions, for example, to stop an investigation at the demand of the defense or to speed up proceedings in other cases. And that was simply putting in jeopardy all the work that had been done since 2014 in Ukraine to fight corruption. And this is what created the backlash that we saw for more than a week here in Ukraine.
Now, we know that the fight against corruption is crucially important in Ukraine ever being allowed to join the EU. So it's important that corruption be, as far as possible, stamped out. It's never zero, I suppose, in any administration, but to get it to an acceptable level for accession to the European Union. So why did President Zelensky and his government want to do this?
Well, there are several hypotheses that come out, that are coming out right now in local investigations by independent media here. Over the past few months, there were a number of cases of, investigations being launched against certain MPs, against certain members of the government. And indeed, people who are close to the presidential office, if not to Volodymyr Zelensky. So there were, suspicions that the government wanted to protect some of its people by doing this law. You know, the timing also just before the summer break of the parliament, and probably, people who wanted this law to pass didn't expect that it will create such backlash because and such pushback, because we've seen over those three and a half years of war that there was a general consensus behind the government, even by the opposition. Because of the war, there was not so much criticism voiced openly. There was criticism. I mean, we living in Ukraine, we were very aware that the government was criticized. However, people were really, united behind the government because they wanted to show this united front to the international community. But when it comes to the independence of anti-corruption institutions, people, civic society simply had to gather, and that's what they did for over a week.
Now, you've given us the kind of negative reasons why the public disapproved of this, but was there any positive reason offered by the president and his government as to why they wanted to do this? Do they say there was any benefit of taking these agencies under the effective control of the prosecutor?
Well, the reason given was to rid those institutions of what the government said was a Russian presence, Russian agents. However, why would they have needed to burn down the house instead of just getting rid of the elements that were, under their suspicion? They haven't given proofs of what they were suspecting. And this is why also it created the backlash, because people didn't understand why they needed this law. And this is why civic society gathered. It's also like on the on a positive note, it's quite positive for Ukraine to see that civic society, even in the middle of a war, takes that kind of thing seriously enough to take to the streets to show their discontent, to gather every day to put pressure on their government, on their MPs to actually reconvene. It was not planned. They were supposed to go on summer holiday. They were all called back from various regions of Ukraine to urgently vote the new bill proposed by Volodymyr Zelensky. It's a bill that he quickly announced, seeing the backlash within Ukrainian society. And this bill, it doesn't replace the law that was passed last week, that was voted last week, but it overrides it. It actually reinstates the independence of the institutions that were whose independence was endangered.
And what about those Russian-influenced people who are in those anti-corruption agencies? I mean, will they attempt to purge those people? Because you can see how it would benefit Russia and Putin to have people making mischief for members of Zelensky's inner circle.
Absolutely. So there are two levels to that. Of course, fighting Russian influence within the Ukrainian institution is also a key element of, Ukraine defending itself in the ongoing war. And that's not going to change. That's still going to be one objective. The second layer of what happened is that, of course, those protests have been instrumentalized also by the Kremlin, by Russian propaganda. I've read on Russian media that people in the streets were calling for an end to the war. This is absolutely not the case. They were just demanding from their MPs that they reinstated the independence of institutions fighting corruption. So those are the levels that show that any disruption within Ukrainian institutions would benefit Ukraine. And this is why the fight against corruption and the fight against Russian influence within institutions, including institutions fighting corruption, is paramount for Ukraine.
So finally, I should ask you, Emmanuel, about the continuing Russian bombardment of Ukrainian cities, including Kyiv, and people are dying and many people injured by this Russian bombardment. What is the latest?
Well, does bombing continue day in, day out? Yesterday in Kyiv, the city woke up, or rather didn't sleep, after another night of hours of bombardment. I was yesterday morning on the site of one of those strikes, a missile that struck into a residential building, which was simply pulverized. It completely collapsed. And rescuers are still on site. They are still working through the rubble. And there's 28 people who died, including a 2-year-old child, including a 6-year-old child, a 17-year-old. There's also 160 people who got injured in those strikes. And perhaps the international community has grown used to those figures, to those, everyday reports. But in Ukraine, when you actually live under those bombings, there's nothing usual about it. There's nothing normal about it. And it's scary for people. There's millions of people who keep on taking shelter every night. Some of them don't have time, like the people who died that night. And unfortunately, this is something that happens daily here in Ukraine, in Kyiv and in other cities.
And finally, the mood in Ukraine, as you know, Donald Trump made some signals that he was becoming wary of Putin at last, and also maybe sensitive to the notion that the whole world is suggesting that Putin is making a fool of him, and therefore he offered some support to Ukraine via NATO. Are people cynical about Trump, or are they hopeful that it could be a game changer?
Well, you've nailed it. Really, Trump's reaction comes at last. It is something, Putin's cynicism is something that Ukrainians have been, victims of since 2014, if not before, and at a larger scale after 2022. And that Donald Trump finally comes to the same conclusion as millions of Ukrainians. Of course, it is welcome here. However, we also know that the U.S. president is prone to changing his mind very quickly about anything and everything. So Ukrainians wait for acts rather than words. But of course, it is encouraging steps by the U.S. president that indeed he realizes that Vladimir Putin has no intention whatsoever to gear Russia towards a peace.
Emmanuel Shazi, Ukraine correspondent for France 24, thank you very much for joining us from Kyiv.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.